Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
9:35 on KMBZ. Good morning. EJ Becker, Ellen Schenck. It's a special hour of Kansas City's morning news. We are in studio with Matthew Dowd. Matthew Dowd, a longtime political strategist. He was the chief strategist for George W. Bush's reelection campaign. He is, of course, on Good Morning America and This Week on ABC and a regular contributor here on Kansas City's morning news as well. Matthew, good morning. We're thrilled to have you in studio with us this hour.
Great to be here. It's always good to be here.
One of the things you were saying, what would draw you back to running a campaign? And that was to elect the first independent president. Is that even possible? Is it a flaw of our system that it's so tough to do?
Well, I think it is a tough thing to do, but the interesting thing is if you look at the U.S. Constitution and you look at the Declaration of Independence, there's not a single mention in either of those two documents about political party. And they don't mention Democrat and they don't mention Republican. And it's fascinating that in George Washington's farewell address, he warned against exactly what we become, which is partisanship that drives people into tribes. And that's a huge problem we have in America today. I think there are barriers to it, but the barriers are lower than they've ever been. I think the gatekeeper quality of the two parties to keep people out is gone. I think your ability to communicate is now raised. People can do it from their computers, from their homes much better today. But I think the mistake has always been is go finding a president and running them first as the first independent. You first have to start proving out the concept, like most things, locally. And so I think you're going to see people run in 2018 in places like Kansas City or Austin, Texas, or St. Louis or Detroit or whatever it happens to be that will then show people there is a way. So I think it has to start from the ground, has to start locally and then move up to the presidential level.
How do you finance that? Is that going to be a grassroots dollar at a time effort, or do you compromise something when you have an independent candidate and big money starts to come in?
Well, I think that you're going to have, there's two manners with which it's done. First, I think it's going to require people that were successful in one part of their life willing to say, I want to become a servant leader in another part, which I actually believe we need more of, more people that basically were successful, they go and serve, and then they come back and they're done with their service instead of that being their full-time, all their entire career job. So it's going to require people, some people that were uniquely successful. The other thing, and I think Bernie Sanders proved this, Bernie Sanders raised something along $150 million at an average of $27 or $28. And he did that, one, because he had a message that resonated with people, but he also did it because of the way technology is today. You can just go online now, put your credit card in, and give somebody $20 or $25, and if they hear you, oh, I like that, what that person's saying, I want to contribute to them. So I think it's going to take a bunch of low-dollar contributions, but it's going to take people that were successful in other areas of their life.
Is America sexist? We didn't elect Hillary Clinton, but I suspect we didn't elect a woman because Hillary wasn't the right woman.
So, first of all, I don't think the country is sexist. And I think there are sexist people, just like there are racist people. Those people exist. If you look at the reasons why she didn't get elected, being a woman isn't even on the top 20 of the reasons why she didn't get elected a president. She mainly didn't get elected president because she was Hillary Clinton. Mm-hmm. And when you look at her negatives on election day were almost equal to Donald Trump's negatives, who people thought was unelectable at the time, and he ended up winning. And then they made a series of campaign mistakes, and then there was an external factors. But her being a woman isn't even close to anywhere near the top of the list on what caused her to lose.
Matthew Dowd is with us in studio this morning, and we'll continue our conversation. But real quick, want to check traffic and weather together every 10 minutes on the nines. It's 9:39. Let's bring in Scott Welgus and find out what's happening on the roads.
Thanks, EJ. Keeping an eye downtown, have the emergency road repairs northbound I-35, northeast corner of the downtown loop. Still slow traffic across the east and north side of the loop, but not like during the rush hour. We're not spilling onto westbound I-70. I'm Scott Welgus, KMBZ Traffic.
Forecast calling for these sunny skies to be replaced by clouds. Rain moving in late in the day, staying with us tonight. On into tomorrow, a high of 68, and right now 59 at KMBZ.
Matthew Dowd is with us in studio this hour here on Kansas City's Morning News. And you made reference, without saying the words social media, you made reference to social media when you talked about the ability of an independent to get elected, even if at the state level, to get the ball rolling. to talk about the media. Let's talk about social media. The media is a beloved target of President Trump. The media is roundly ignored by the new governor of Missouri, who refuses to even answer requests for interviews from us. And Ellen and I are always shocked at that because we are not the enemy. We are here. We want information that we can pass on to the folks who listen to KMBZ, especially in a situation like this where we have massive flooding in the state of Missouri. Not even a response. Not even a no, the governor won't come talk to you. What's your estimation of the political climate as it pertains to the media in 2017?
Well, so we've seen some of this before. I mean, I'm reading a biography of Richard Nixon that just came out. It was a fascinating biography. And some of the things he said about the press were so similar to what Donald Trump says about the press and the enemy and all of the things. And so there's always been this conflict. And the media, us journalists, whomever, are trying to hold people accountable, right? We should hold our leaders accountable. And I think the public wants us to hold our leaders accountable. Leaders don't like that, right? They want us to sort of just accept the spin and here's what it is and just do it the way I say it is. And I think there has not been a more important time in our lifetimes for journalism and the media to do the job right and do it well, because we need it today and people expect it and they want it. The problem is our politicians have become very trained and very expert in trying to avoid it. I don't think it works in the long term. I think the people that avoid the press and don't talk to them end up not doing well, because the press then has an antagonistic relationship towards them and develops that sort of muscle in order to take them on even more. Donald Trump's a great example. He has he has 22 million Twitter followers and he communicates on Twitter and he does all that. But also Donald Trump does a whole bunch of interviews. He just did, I think, 13 or 14 different interviews over the last 72 hours with a whole different variety of press groups. And I think that's healthy. It's also healthy that they constantly ask the question of, say, wait, you said this, but what about this? And so I think politicians that avoid it aren't serving the public well, because they need to be held accountable.
Where is the media lacking in the coverage of this president and the issues that should really be important to this country?
I think many times the media gets distracted by shiny objects and then focuses on stuff that isn't really fundamentally what's affecting somebody's life, the average person's life out there. And so somebody has a shiny object, they get on it and they think it's the most important thing in the world when it really isn't. So I think if they should get less distracted by shiny objects, and I think they really, fundamentally, everybody walks in the door with biases and prejudices. We all have them. And I think the media needs to be much more circumspect about sort of trying to put any bias or prejudice they have behind and look at it objectively. And I think that's something every one of us should do every single day.
What about the phenomenon of Fox News or CNN or MSNBC? And I mean that in the sense that these aren't really news channels. They are talk channels where they have carved out a niche. This is the political view and spin we're going to take, and we're going to feed this. It's in so many cases where there might have been news in the past, now it's just feeding a particular line of thinking. And Americans now tune into what they want to hear as opposed to everything that they should hear. Is that fair?
I think that's very fair. So there's sociologists call this confirmation bias, which means we seek out information that confirms our biases and ignore information that makes us uncomfortable. We now have a technology and a media environment. It's very easy to do. So conservatives and Republicans watch Fox News and listen to certain radio programs that they think are going to confirm their biases. And liberals and progressives do the same things. They watch MSNBC and listen to certain radio shows and access certain blogs. And that's a problem, because what in a democracy, you have to have the ability to get to the common good. And in order to get to the common good, you have to have a common set of facts. But when people confirm their own biases, we now have multiple fact sets where people on one side say, I have facts, and the other side said they have facts. That makes a healthy democracy in danger. Because if we can't get to the common good and come out of our tribes and admit that there here are certain fact sets, that's a problem.
The sad thing is, though, with technology today, we have so many different sources to look at to figure out what really is true.
Yeah, well, you know, I say we have an abundance of knowledge and we have a lack of wisdom. So we have an abundance of information and data. We have this, we're raining data but we have a thirst for real objectivity and we have a thirst for context. And I think the things that we can do are to try to provide our listeners and our viewers with a context for the information, tell them what's real and what's not real, and give them something that is useful in for them making a decision, whether it's political, economic, or whatever it happens to be. But we have a great amount of knowledge, but we have a very bad ability to put it in context.
I remember going to a book event here in Kansas City where the author and the special guest speaker was George W. Bush. And it just true to form, like when he was in the White House, the program started at 7 o'clock. At 6:57, that man came bounding out on stage, full of energy, full of enthusiasm, and early. And you could have been the biggest George Bush hater in the world, and you would have left that place loving that man.
He has a likable quality. What is he like behind the scenes? Because you know.
It's interesting to me. So that insight you just said is two huge aspects of George W. Bush. First is he was a stickler for punctuality. Mm-hmm. And I learned this growing up to be on time and all that. But George W. Bush, if there was a meeting at the campaign at the White House, and if you were there, if the meeting was at 9 and you were there at 9:01, you didn't get in the meeting.
Oh, wow.
And he was there because he was there a couple of minutes early. And if you showed up 1 minute, 30 seconds late, you were not allowed in the meeting. So he's a stickler, which I think is awesome. So many of these politicians are an hour, 2 hours late. That is something he didn't do. The second thing is I got to know him personally. He is such a warm, charming. He's a really good man. He's obviously a great dad, a great husband, and all the things that he's gone through in his life. And he's just generally a really likable guy.
And yet there was a rift in your relationship.
Yes, there was a rift in my relationship. So I was a Democrat that went to work for him. And I had an idea that, one, that we could bring to Washington what we had done in Texas, and that we'd bring the country together, get past the divisiveness, work with the Democrats, get things done. That happened in part, and then it totally didn't happen. We ended up more divided, more polarized, and all that. There was that. And then there was obviously the Iraq War that many of us know now turned out to be operated under the wrong auspices. We lost thousands of men and women in that war, spent trillions of dollars in that. And I had a son. My oldest son did two tours in Iraq. He actually joined after Bush became president in that, and then he ended up going over to Iraq. And so those two things caused me to have a public break with Bush, saying that we didn't do what we said we were going to do, which is bring the country together, and the Iraq War turned out to be a disaster.
Do you think they had bad information?
I disagree with this whole idea that somehow that was ginned up. I think that they did. I think Bill Clinton believed there was weapons of mass destruction. I think most of the leaders in the world believed. I think the UN believed. I think that there was probably steps we could have taken before we went to war with Iraq. I think Afghanistan was probably the right decision. But I don't think this was we went to war, we lied ourselves into war. I think it was a mistake, and the intelligence turned out to be very wrong.
I want to go back to something you said. Your goal was to go and try to bring everybody together and work together, and in the end, we ended up more divided. And today, I would say we are more divided than ever before. So rather than asking you philosophically, I'll ask you pragmatically, how do we fix that when you have politicians that claim they're standing up for the people in their districts, and the people in their districts are so partisan one way or another? How do you fix the divide and get back to trying to cooperate? It's a dirty word, I know. Cooperate and do the best we can for ourselves and our country.
So the listeners can't see, I'm wearing a country over party T-shirt. And I think that the first thing we can do is politicians need to decide that their country matters more than their party, that the decisions made into the country are more important than decisions made in their partisan interest or their party interest. That's first. Second thing is we need more politicians that aren't vested with this immense ego, that they worry about every single thing that's affecting their ego, and they're much more humble servant leaders. We need more people elected. And anybody listening out there that wants to run, go ahead and run. We need more people to run and to be involved and to be those servant leaders that we need to have. And I think it requires a discipline. You have to be willing to fail politically in order to accomplish what I'm talking about. So I've given a perfect example, advice to a president. I think the president shouldn't wait for Congress people to come to the White House. They should go down to the Capitol. The president, most people don't, has an office at the Capitol they never use. They never use it. They have an office at the Capitol they never use. I think a president should go down there, spend one day a week, and basically say, I'm willing to meet, talk, and do whatever it takes to help bring this country together and bridge the divide. They never use it. They force all these congressmen and senators, come see me at the big house, come do this, because it's ego. And I think at some point in time, people need to give up on their ego and do what's in the best interest of the country.
I hate it that this hour is almost over, but I want to play a quick game of word association. You game?
Sure.
George W. Bush.
Charming.
Arnold.
Ego.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yes.
Paul Ryan.
Still discovering himself.
Nancy Pelosi.
Time to go.
Washington.
It's soulless.
I was going to say, you can say soulless.
Wow.
That's okay.
Soulless.
Obamacare.
It's complicated.
Kim Jong-un.
Over his head.
Barack Obama.
Wait and see.
Donald Trump.
Unfinished.
Okay.
Interesting.
As we go back and go over that list, healthcare was on there. You've got taxes that they're on there. We've got the divisiveness that we have. You've got these relatively small issues and the big issues too. What is the single biggest issue we face as American people that we have to overcome or continue to do well if we're going to succeed?
The biggest issue that we have to deal with is the means of governance are broken. The ends, we have to quit worrying about the ends right now and fix the means. Because if the means work, then we'll get to it. The ends will be good. And so everything that's done now in Washington and much of our politics is done through a broken means, which is both sides won't talk to each other. We can't reach consensus. We can't get to the common good. And until we fix the means of government, until we fix the means of how people lead, we are not going to be able to accomplish the ends we want.
Do we face a possibility in 2018? I mean, 2018 is the next time. If, you know, a third of the Senate turns over, the entire House can turn over. Are we going to see Trump-like candidates, or in the case of Missouri, a Greitens-like candidate, a lot more outsiders come in and try, and some of them will succeed? And if so, what does that do for cooperation when they're sort of anti-party at the same time?
So I think the interesting thing is both political parties have learned the wrong lesson from this last campaign. So the Republicans think that we need more candidates that behave like Donald Trump. Donald Trump won in spite of himself, not because of himself, in this environment that we're in. And Democrats have also learned the wrong lesson. I think what the candidates need to do is figure out how they represent what America is and looks like. We have two political parties, so when you look at what they represent, don't represent a vast majority of the country. They represent a very small minority of the country. And so the lesson is be authentic. Donald Trump was authentic. The lesson is be an outsider and don't just be a pure politician. But people want civil people that relate to people with respect and dignity. And so I would say the lesson to be learned is that put the country before the party and be servants to the people, not servant to yourself.
Yes or no? Would term limits help?
We have a system, and if we just employ it, that just with elections every 2 years, that we can limit people on this. I don't know. I from my own personal opinion, I don't know if that's really what we need, or we need citizens to get engaged and term limit people based upon the ballot box.
Is it fair with just limited time to ask Matthew Dowd, hey, are you going to run against Ted Cruz?
It's fair to ask me. Thank you at the end of this. A number of folks have talked to me, Democrats, Independents, and Republicans have talked to me. I don't know. I'm mulling it over. I don't know if it's something I want to do. I have to figure out, like we all do, how to use your voice to help people in your communities. I don't know if that's the way I want to use my voice or use my time. So I'm thinking it over, deliberating on it. I just don't know if that's what I want to do.
In the meantime, we'll be listening to your voice on GMA on this week when you have time to join us here on Kansas City's Morning News.
And looking forward to reading A New Way, Country Over Party.
Matthew Dowd, longtime political strategist and contributor here to Kansas City's Morning News. Thank you.
You're welcome. And I would say go Royals until you play the Detroit Tigers. So you can win all the other games, just not against the Tigers.
We're okay with that.
It is 9:59 at KMBZ.
Had Republicans
a kind of a complete...
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.